Welcome, friends. We are thinking about sexuality and God's story, understanding who we are and how we in our own lives are called to embody God's story. In this unit, we are thinking about our culture stories and understanding how those are active in the images and the symbols and in sort of the ways of life that we're interacting with on a daily basis. And so in the last video, we thought about the story of individualism and how that story is really crucial to how many people in North American culture think about themselves and think about their singleness, their sexuality, and their marriage. In this section, I want to talk a little bit about the story of romance, resting in romantic love. And when we think about this particular story, this is a strong one, especially, I would say, in Christian subcultures as well. I teach at Kuiper College, a Christian college, where we have the majority of people who come there are students in kind of the 18 to 24-year-old range. And it's so interesting when I talk to those students about this in particular. One of the things that happens is they go to a Christian college, and then when they come back home, when they come back to their home church, people will ask them, did you meet somebody? Have you met a significant other? And if they do happen to be dating or in a relationship with somebody, it's always, when are you getting engaged? When are you getting married? And it's really clear that even for a lot of Christians, this notion that, that the end goal of life is marriage, is finding that person that I connect with, where there is this kind of romantic connection, seeing what that leads to in terms of marriage. And so this, again, these are not just stories that are out there in the broader culture. These are stories that are often interwoven with our lives as Christians. And so it's really important to be reflective about this. When we dig into the story, I want to, in this context, do a little bit of background and think a little bit historically, and maybe depending on where you're at when you're watching this, I would love to just hear from different students in different contexts, in different cultures around, what are the expectations for marriage? How do people think about that in your time and place? Because again, what I'm identifying here comes especially from very much a North American culture, a way of thinking about things. But when you look back, even in European, in American history, it's really interesting to see how marriage is thought about, especially before the Industrial Revolution. And part of what is different about that is if in certain times and places throughout history, and especially even today, in a lot of ways, the household is actually the center of the economic life of the family. In other words, where you live and the place of your family dwelling is not fundamentally different from the place where you work. So you see this in Bible times pretty clearly, that people's households is oftentimes the place where they do their work, both to maintain the household itself and to maintain their life in the broader economic scheme of things. I think, for example, read Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 talks about this from the perspective of Proverbs, this ideal wife. And what you see is this is a woman who is working within the context of her own home to keep her home going, but that part of what that includes is economic life and trade and producing things within the home to be sold, buying things, as well as just working hard to maintain the life and integrity of the home. And so what's different about that is that in North American culture, there is very much a divorce between the home as a place of the dwelling for family, and this is a place where marriage gets embodied, and work, which is something that happens in a totally different space. And so what that means is that in many times and places and cultures, marriage is actually a key component to household economics, the house is not just a place where people live and are entertained, where they watch Netflix together and kind of hang out, but that there's something about marriage and a family where people are actually working together in their household. I saw this most evidently in farm communities growing up in Iowa, where it's just expected that the whole family is working together to maintain the farm, to maintain the life there. And so what happens is that in the Industrial Revolution, as I've alluded to a little bit already, what happens is that there is this divorce from the daily necessities of life, and marriage is in a lot of ways a partnership devoted to maintaining the life of the household together and working together. The Industrial Revolution essentially says, in the beginning, primarily men, but women and children as well, go work somewhere else. You do your work primarily for money, and then you come back to the household as a place where you spend your evenings together, where you spend some time there together. But with the rise of the Industrial Revolution and the rise of larger and larger cities where people work for money, they don't work to just provide what they need for sustenance, you see, I think, the start of a transformation in terms of how people think about marriage and how they think about family. And so kids and family life, it's not that people are so much producers, partners in maintaining the household, but rather people are primarily consumers, that production is something that we do in our jobs at another place for somebody else, and what we do at home is a place of consumption. And so because of that, how we think about marriage starts to shift. Right? If you think about previous generations where, you know, the idea of marrying primarily, or maybe even solely for romantic love, that would have been at least not as much a factor as it is for us today. Part of it would have been, can the spouse actually help provide for me? Can they help be an integral member of the household that is all working together as this economic unit to maintain and sustain our lives? And so with the rise of the Industrial Revolution, you also get this notion that especially marriage is primarily about emotional and romantic connections. And so marriage is not about what's practical, or it's not about what's pragmatic, or what's going to be, in a lot of ways, sustainable for a household. It's about, do I have some kind of emotional and romantic connection with somebody? That this is a person that, you know, if you watch romantic movies and listen to the kind of language used there, it's like, does this person strike a chord with me? And it's almost, I think, a very mystical thing where we just somehow, for some reason, this person strikes a chord with me, and so that's why we have this relationship. In fact, in a CNN article from a couple of years ago called The Marriage Apocalypse, it's interesting. Part of the point of this article is that people in a lot of ways are abandoning marriage. Its focus was on a European context, but even in North America. And part of what they observed as they look at this and they listen to different people is that over and over what you hear is that marriage is about this kind of emotional and romantic connection. And people just weren't sure that that was something that they could have or that they could that could be sustained. And so one person actually says this. They say marriage should be for love, not a matter of expectation, routine, and everyday practicalities. I read this, and I think, as somebody who's been married 16 years, you know, a big part of marriage actually is expectations, routine, and everyday practicalities. In fact, you know, part of what's interesting about this quote is it almost seems to divorce love from everyday practicalities. Now, in my experience, I think it would be pretty foolish for me to say to my wife, you know, I just want to love you. I just want to have this emotional, romantic connection with you. I don't want to be worried about routine and everyday practicality. So, you know, could you please stop asking me to unload the dishwasher? Right? Would that, as I think about that, like, actually, what I've found is that in marriage and in a family life together, it's actually in the everyday routines, everyday practicalities, that's where you start to learn what it means to actually show love to people. That oftentimes, you know, I think about having children, it's like, wow, to have a child is this great, amazing thing, But it means that every day you get up and you have to worry about the same thing, especially for a young child or for a new infant. It's, is this child being fed? Are they adequately clothed? Are they being taken care of? Are their needs attended to? It's not very romantic. It's not necessarily this amazing mystical experience all the time. It's, this kid has a diaper that needs to be changed, and that's how I show love. And so when we think about this story, the story of romance, the story of individualism, a lot of times in our culture we place this huge expectation on our romantic relationships that this is really going to complete me, that this is going to fulfill me and make me sort of authentic in who I am when I find this emotional and romantic connection. And it actually misses the way that love gets embodied in daily routines, in daily practices. And so what happens then is when the sort of the initial emotional and romantic spark or connection, that kind of initial feeling dies down, people are left kind of scratching their heads like, is this relationship really what I want? Because it doesn't have that spark. And so they're on to the next thing. They're looking for something or somebody new and miss out on what love really is. And so it's important to recognize the way that the story of romance works. It's deeply embedded in our culture, deeply embedded in our expectations around marriage and how marriage can be a fulfillment and a finding of our true self as I find this spark of emotional and romantic connection with others. But this, of course, stands in contrast to the biblical story of suffering love. That love is not just about what we can get, it's not just about this spark that's there, but it's about entering into relationship with somebody in a way that is deeply self-giving, that is oftentimes sacrificial, and making the story of Jesus real in that way as it does that. So, this is the second story. We've looked at the story of individualism, the story of romance. In the next section, we're going to look at the story of naturalism and think about what that story says to us and how that influences how we think about ourselves and our bodies. So until then, blessings.